20 hours in 19 minutes. That's when this next Knicks game starts, guys. I am so excited because that was a hell of a lot of fun. It was so stressful. It was almost not worth the stress, but it was because they won. That was so fun. You know, like I had fun last postseason because, you know, it was coming off a year where they missed the playoffs. But like every year we get closer to being a finals contender. So I think it's just going to get better and better. And I really, man, that just felt good. That felt good. That's all I have. Let's just wrap up the show here. Thanks for watching. No, let's, I have a lot to say. I don't know how long this episode is going to be, but I have a lot to say. So could be an hour, could be 45 minutes. I do want to get to some things because there were a lot of themes. And this might be an episode where it sounds like, I don't know, by the end of it, it'll sound like we lost the game. Cause I want to talk about a lot of things that I want to see the Knicks adjust on. And my gosh, you know, it's going to be a tough series. At least I think. But this was fun. And I have a feeling this series is going to be fun. And it's going to be full of stress and highs and lows and hopefully more highs. Let's talk New York Knicks, episode 669, BD4. Let's go. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, RJ Carbone. You are listening to BD4. Where there's no better way to get your Yankees and Knicks analysis. We also do MMA. Yanks every series, Knicks every game, MMA on occasion. Let's get to it. Anthony for three. Bang! That one goes down and the game is tied.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
The Yankees are champions of baseball.
Shaking and baking. Right here on the near fight.
Wow. You know, like, Madison Square Garden is one of the most electric atmospheres in sports. Yankee Stadium is one of the most electric atmospheres in sports. I always go back and forth between what gets louder in a postseason, Yankee Stadium or MSG, because I've been to both. I wasn't at the Knicks game last night. I was watching on TV, and by the way, Gus Johnson and Clyde, just a freaking perfect duo, and I hope they continue to do games together for as long as Clyde's going to do it, and Gus needs to get more games next year. He's awesome. Those calls he was making, especially those Josh Hart threes in the fourth quarter, they have such a good dynamic, but like the MSG, there's nothing more. There's nothing better than the Garden in the playoffs, man. Like, that place goes nuts. And no wonder why this team plays the way they do. It's because they feed off of this crowd. They say role players play better at home. Like, that doesn't have to be a slight to them on the road. That could just be a compliment to them because of how these Knicks players just feed off of that New York crowd. Good Christ, that was fun. The Knicks beat the Sixers last night in Game 1, folks. 111-104 in Game 1 of the quarterfinals in the Eastern Conference. The New York Knicks, without Julius Randle, defeated the Philadelphia 76ers with Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. That's true. And it did not look like it. This was a game where each quarter, it was each team's turn to take off. You know, in the first quarter, it was Philly. They go up by 10 points pretty quickly. Tyrese Maxey was giving the Knicks problems. The Knicks looked like they had a little bit of jitters early on. They were generating a lot of poor looks, couldn't get open looks, and Embiid looked dominant. He looked much better than he did against Miami to open up the game. And the Knicks were playing poor help defense in the secondary, some really easy lanes to the basket. And they were down 9 points by the end of the period. Second quarter comes, and it was the Knicks' turn to go off. You got Bojan Bogdanović with a couple early baskets, and then Deuce McBride with just a remarkable second quarter. He's knocking down so many big baskets, early second, late second. The Knicks go on an 11-1 run in the middle of the second. Towards the end of the period, Embiid has that dunk when he throws it off the backboard, and he lands badly on that knee, and he gets hurt. And I'm hoping he's okay, because I don't want to play a Sixers team without Joel. I want the best of the best out there, and I want the best for this guy. He's good for the game. Came back for the second half of the game, but the Knicks were up 12 entering the third quarter. And the third quarter comes, and Philly was hot, man. That motherfucker who just kills the Knicks no matter what team he's on, no matter what year it is, Kyle Lowry, is hot from three. He's getting left open. And it was his quarter. And the Knicks are down three after three. But the fourth quarter comes. Oh, you got really everybody chipping in. I mean, you got Bojan Bogdanović, who is knocking down shots, and he makes an early three to tie the game. And it's back and forth for a little bit. But Josh Hart's coming through in the clutch. He's making big three-pointers. OG Anunoby with a big three-pointer on the weak side elbow. He puts the Knicks up seven with a minute and a half. Josh Hart comes back, and he's knocking down consecutive threes. A backbreaker three to follow up that Kyle Lowry three. That puts the Knicks up a little bit. And then he grabs that game-clinching rebound where he out-hustles Embiid. Embiid, if he's healthy, probably gets that. But Josh Hart, I don't know. This is a guy who out-rebounds centers every night. He grabs the rebound, and that really sealed the deal for the Knicks. And they win, again, 111-104 over the Sixers. And I commend this team for playing the way that this was a Tom Thibodeau win. How many times have I gone on this podcast, sitting in front of this camera, in front of this mic, and I've said this team plays to their coach's philosophy. And that's exactly what they did. They were down early. They did not give up. They fought. They hustled. They made it ugly. And they pulled away with the win. They played heavy minutes, of course. Short rotation, of course. And they got the win. That felt so good. So good to where I want to get to a Garden playoff game now. I want to spend money that I just got on my tax return to go to a Knicks game and spend it on James Dolan's overpriced tickets. Like, I'm willing to. If I had the time, I would. My Christ, again, for the 17th time in 9 minutes right now, was that fun. So I want to talk about a few things. A few things we liked, a few things that make us a little concerned, and some other aspects of this game. When we get back from our first break, we'll do that. So let's talk. The Knicks take game one at the Mecca. This is BD4, episode 669. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Let's talk about this game. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Thanks for listening in so far. If you enjoy this episode, please give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're on YouTube, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Thanks so much.
Welcome back to the show, episode 669 of BD4, where there's no better way to get your Yankees and Knicks analysis. We also do MMA, Yanks every series, Knicks every game, MMA on occasion. Don't worry, I'm trying to find the time, man. I'm trying to find the time, if you are a UFC fan, to get to that event, that UFC 300 event. Hopefully I can get it out before the next event, just so it has some shelf life. And it was fun, but we want to talk Knicks, right? And I think the first thing I want to get off the top here is I thought Tom Thibodeau, well, I had some gripes that we'll get to in just a second, really. I like that he kind of showed some new things in this game. He went to some new lineups. When the playoffs come, man, you can plan for it all you want. You can game plan. You can draw up schemes and X's and O's and everything. But when it comes and you find yourself in the midst of something, you try out different shit on the fly. You do things that you never thought you'd have to do. And Tom Thibodeau flashed a few different lineups that we really didn't see in the regular season. And the first one I noticed was, well, let's start with the second one. Because Tom Thibodeau closed the game with really a brand new lineup of Brunson, McBride, Anunoby, Hart, and Robinson. They very rarely did that lineup play in the regular season. But he closes the game with this lineup, and they killed it. They killed it together. They got big stops, and I believe in the final 5 minutes, each of them got baskets. Maybe not Deuce, but Deuce was playing excellent defense on Maxey. But you got baskets down the stretch from Brunson, even, who was off, and we'll talk about that, from Anunoby, you know, the three-pointer on the left wing. Hart, Robinson, I mean, you got big baskets, big stops from that lineup. It was effective. And it's a lineup I would love to see more, because it's got a lot of defense. The only weakness defensively in that lineup is obviously Jalen. But you got defense, you've got shooting, you've got length, you've got switchability. Talk about the ability to switch on the perimeter with McBride, Anunoby, Hart, and Robinson. Try running a pick and roll on those guys. No problem. We'll switch it. And then he went with a lineup in the first half. It was that same lineup, but replaced Josh Hart with Bogey. So we went Brunson, Deuce, OG, Boyan, Mitch. That lineup, I am pretty sure, did not play a single minute together in the regular season. Part of that was because Mitch was hurt when Boyan was acquired, but they played last night and they got some minutes at the end of the first half. And I think they got about 7 minutes at the end of the first half, and they were a plus six. At one point, they went on this 7-1 run. And them two, yes, they were scoring the ball, but they just did a fantastic job of getting stops. And that's kind of a shock, because you have Brunson and Boyan in there. But the fact that Deuce, OG, and Mitch were all in there together, the Knicks were able to hide that weakness. And they really did a nice job getting buckets down the stretch and turning around what was a rough first quarter into a positive second quarter, because that lineup had such a strong finish to the half. Now, speaking of lineups and, you know, offense, it's going to be, this is something we talked about in our preview episode, our Knicks Sixers preview episode. I think the Josh Hart minutes are going to be super key. When he's on the floor, it's pivotal that the Knicks are crashing the offensive glass. So put like three bodies down low. And they won the boards 55-33, 23-9 on the O glass. But when Hart's on the floor, two things are going to be important. They're going to have to crash the offensive glass. And two, they're going to have to play with pace. right? And we talk about that, obviously, for those half-court reasons. When Hart is on the floor and the offense settles into the half-court, it's tough sometimes because, as we saw last night, just like as we saw in the Miami series round two last year, Philly completely ignored Josh Hart. They would ignore him to help up on the screen, right? They would send someone to hedge the screen, or they would send someone to help on the back line on the roll, right? They would use Lowry as a weak side low man. And it hurts. And it did hurt the Knicks at times last night. You know, you look at the start of the first quarter and the start of each half. When the starting unit was on the floor, you had some poor play. The offensive spacing was not good. You know, like, and I think it's going to be a must that when Brunson and Hart share the floor together, especially when you have a big on the floor with him, you're going to need Brunson next to two shooters. So Dante and OG are going to be key to that starting lineup. You know, but having two shooters, not just with Brunson, but the way I think the Knicks align their offense and get into their sets is going to be key because it depends on positioning. I think if you have one shooter, you want to put one of those two shooters on the weak side wing, one pass over from the action. And then you want to put another shooter on the weak side corner right next to that guy. This way, you now have a two-on-one advantage on the second side because there was a third quarter example of the Knicks having a two-on-one advantage on the weak side where Nick Nurse was in a junk defense. It was like a matchup zone. But it wasn't two shooters on the second side. It was Josh Hart and Dante. Dante was a pass over on the wing. Hart was the one on the weak side corner. If you have two shooters, you're going to force, I mean, it's pick your poison with the rotation. Right? So I think it's going to be very pivotal for Tom Thibodeau to not be afraid to pull the trigger and get Deuce in there. Right? He's going to have to find minutes. Like, Deuce was great last night, and so was Josh Hart. Deuce only played 28 minutes. You could argue you probably want more. He's going to be important in this series. Deuce against Philadelphia, this is a matchup that you need him. You need him not just for the spacing, but for the point of attack defense that we're about to get to. So in my opinion, it's going to come down to Tom Thibodeau. You know, and I mentioned this in the preview. Like, I love Hart. I love Josh Hart. Every Knicks fan should love Josh Hart. But I think it's important for Tibbs to, yes, you want to recognize Josh Hart's greatness and everything he does well, but just remember some of the flaws that he brings in certain lineups too. And remember, you know, when to know that, like, there, you know, sometimes you need to sacrifice things to improve in other areas to help your team win a game. So, like, that third quarter was brutal where Deuce didn't see a minute. Mitch didn't see a minute until way late in the period. And, you know, had Josh Hart not come alive there in the fourth quarter, knocking down some 10-percenters, we're talking a whole different story in this episode. But I want to get to that defense. I want to talk a little about the defense because it's going to be interesting to see if Tibbs is going to adjust game two. Because this is another thing we talked about in the preview. Go check that out in 668 if you have not yet. The Knicks have all year, even with Anunoby, have been shaky defending at the point of attack. Right? Quicker, smaller guards who are able to get into the paint give them problems. You saw it all year. You saw it towards the end. Kobe White in the Bulls game in the final game of the regular season was killing the Knicks. You know, De'Aaron Fox a few weeks ago, Tyrese Maxey when the Knicks played Philly in the regular season, gave OG problems. And then Tyrese Maxey last night, you had, despite, you know, a lot of Knicks fans, I would think, asking for a different strategy, it was on Anobi that was on Tyrese last night to start the game when the starters were in. And I just don't see many advantages there. One advantage, the only advantage I can really think of having Anunoby on Maxey is that you can switch pick and roll, right? You can switch it where OG would be on Embiid after the switch. At the same time, that would mean Ihart or Mitch is on Maxey, which is a bad idea unless it's a late switch. And you got a few seconds on the shot clock. All you got to do is hold it down over there, hold it down for that for that long. But like, you saw that where it was a regular switch, and the Knicks were left with one of their bigs out in space, having to guard Maxey in isolation with a lot of time on the clock, and it didn't bode well. So I hope that Tibbs makes the adjustment and he keeps Anunoby in help, you know, playing off of a non-threat like a Kelly Oubre or a Tobias, especially when Deuce is on the floor, right? Like, if Deuce is on the floor with Anunoby, you can't not put Deuce at the point of attack. Right, and then you put OG on a Tobias, who's a mediocre shooter on low volume. Right, I mean, the Knicks helped off him. They went under screens on him a few times last night, and he was missing. Kelly Oubre, who is a poor shooter on a higher volume. Like, there's an example in the third quarter. Kelly Oubre's on the corner. Lowry's on the wing right next to him. Dante DiVincenzo rotates off of Oubre to the wing, onto Lowry, and now Oubre is left wide open, but he's so hesitant and so not confident that he attacks the space instead, and he ends up getting called for a travel. So those are non-shooters that you should put OG on just because he's allowed to play in his help role, and he can ignore them, and that's where he's best, when he's on the back line. I think another aspect, this is something we also mentioned in the preview. I was worried about this entering the game, how the Sixers were going to target Brunson and target Bojan, right? And it happened a few times last night where Tyrese Maxey was looking for the switch on each of those guys, right? Now, Brunson would be off ball, but Maxey would call the guard, Brunson's man, into the action to screen for the switch. But the Knicks didn't switch, which is good. They shouldn't switch when Brunson's off ball. However, the Sixers have some pretty excellent screeners. So the point of attack defender would be late on the recovery. And with Embiid a perimeter threat, that means Ihart and Mitch weren't always in drop last night. They were at the level instead a couple times, and that would lead to Maxey getting these wide open lanes. So I worry about this because, you know, the Knicks aren't going to switch actions where Brunson or Bojan are on the screen or off the point of attack. That's kind of where drop coverage comes in handy, right? But it's hard to drop when Embiid's a capable shooter, which it makes it much easier when Maxey and Embiid are staggered. But when Maxey and Embiid are on the floor together at the same time, that's an impossible pick and roll to defend sometimes. You're going to have to sacrifice. And it goes back to what I just said. This is why it's very important to have OG Anunoby off of the point of attack and in the back line in a help role so he can rotate from the weak side into the lane and stop penetration off the pick and roll. So I hope that we make that adjustment. I think that's going to be key to me, but we'll see. Let's talk about Jalen Brunson when we return from our break, though. Let's get to break. We'll talk about Jalen's game and what we thought of that. Stay with us.
You can follow us on social media as well. On Instagram, we're at BD4Pod and at Rob J. Carbone. On X, we're at BD4Pod and at RJCBD4. And on Facebook, we're BD4.
All right, so Jalen Brunson, yeah, he struggled last night. You know, and this is something that, listen, he's easier to defend in isolation than he is when he's in pick and roll, right? When you put wingspan on Jalen, bigger, longer, switchable wings, like Oubre, you know, Batum or Tyrese Maxey, like that's when he struggles to create offense. They had Oubre on him to start the game. He got most of the time on Jalen, and he did a really commendable job. Nick Batum was on him for a little bit. He has a ton of length. Tyrese Maxey, like Brunson got his switch. He wanted the Maxey switch, and he got them a lot, and he got some good looks off of that switch, but he just didn't execute. But you want to make Jalen uncomfortable, you put length on him. You know, you take away the middle. Brunson was forced into a lot of tough mid-range shots. He rushed a lot of shots, especially early. They were doing a nice job denying the ball and a really good job of kind of doing what the Knicks did last year to the Cavs in funneling. They funneled Jalen Brunson toward Joel Embiid by staying on his high side, and that gave him some problems, right? They were showing high early in the game with Joel coming up to the level. Now, this was funny because Nurse, I don't know why I bought this, but Nick Nurse was asked pregame, what kind of coverage are you going to run on pick and roll? And we're going to put Joel on a deep drop, which he didn't do that until after the injury in the second half. But early on, he brought him up to blitz at the level. And he had a hard time. He had a hard time when they put length on him. And I think because of this, it's going to be super important for the Knicks to activate Jalen off ball, activate him in weak side looks, and use Isaiah Hartenstein as that hub that we constantly bring up, right? Use Brunson cutting off of off-ball screens and coming around, receiving the ball from my heart in handoffs, off cuts, backdoor. Like, it's a lot of conditioning for him. You know, he does, you could argue, twice as much work, you know, and he's going to be getting 40-plus minutes a night anyway. It's a lot of work to ask him to run around like Steph Curry off-ball. But that has been a staple of the Knick offense the last couple months, right? And last night, the few times that Brunson did get a few baskets, that came off ball. And Kelly Oubre is not great at chasing around anybody off the ball. And you saw it like in the first quarter. Isaiah Hartenstein finds Brunson on that back cut to beat Kelly Oubre. Brunson gets the N1 finish. Kelly Oubre's at his hips, fouls him. Early in the third quarter, Brunson comes, it's like, I think they ran floppy. Brunson comes up from the basket, comes off the iHeart screen, knocks down a three. And then you maybe had another possession in this game where he's off ball, gets to the free throw line. Like, get him off ball looks, you know, because he's struggling isolating on longer wings, on switchable wings. This might be the best way to create offense for the time being until he, you know, until the Knicks can get their pick and roll game situated. But like, don't shy away from your offense. You know, like if Embiid is at the level again tomorrow night, I still want the Knicks to get him on his feet moving. Tire him out, exhaust him. His conditioning is not great. He can't move well. Like, use the initial action and then pivot to the second side for another action. Make Joel defend multiple actions. Get him moving laterally. Use the short pick and roll to go 4-on-3 on the back line. Force the Sixers into rotation. You know? Now, Philly did a good job recovering on the roll last night. So, it's not... They play good defense. It's not going to be like it was against Sacramento, where the Knicks just had the free short pick and roll every single time down. They kept going back to it. But, you know, they could have Joel in a drop again. And if they play him in a drop, get him coming up to defend the floater in space. That short mid-range area. Have, you know, Brunson loves that floater. Ihart, have him use that floater. Use Ihart on the post to lower his shoulder. You know, when he has the ball sometimes, he does a very good job of lowering his center of gravity, putting his shoulder into your chest, similar to Julius, and just being physical. So I think they need to keep exploiting Embiid because he's compromised right now. You know? But hey, this was a game where, listen, you hear it all the time. You hear all the garbage. The Knicks can't win games unless Brunson drops 40 points. Brunson has to do everything for the Knicks to win. And yes, they don't have Julius. You know, and we could talk about the Knicks needing a second star, 1A, 1B, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Doesn't mean Brunson has to have an elite game for the Knicks to win a game. You know why? Because you saw it game one of the playoffs just last night. You can throw that narrative in the fucking garbage can. Brunson had 22 points last night. He shot 8 for 26. He had 5 turnovers. He was a minus 3. How they win the game? Well, role players stepped up. In particular, Deuce McBride was fantastic. Mitchell Robinson was fantastic. Josh Hart was fantastic. Bojan Bogdanović had great moments. Bojan was my X factor heading into this series. Right? 1 out of 2 from the Detroit trade still have a chance of working out. And that one guy, his name is not Alec. His name's Bojan. And Bojan was giving the Knicks some big first half buckets with Brunson on the bench. Right? Early in the second quarter, he knocks down that pull-up three in transition with Philly. Their defense wasn't really set. Reed was backtracking. Bojan pulls up, knocks it down. Couple of possessions later, you got Deuce McBride, rejects the pick and roll, drives onto the double team with Reed and soft help, and he makes the kick out onto Bojan on the weak side elbow, knocks down the three. He was doing a really good job. This was the guy who came into the game. He had the whole problem with the sprained wrist. He was in warm-ups favoring the wrist, and he looked like he had a tape on it. Like, I was worried. But he looked pretty good last night. And he wasn't just shooting threes. He was using his size to generate offense. Right? He took it on the post to exploit mismatches, drawing contact from the post over Maxey in the first half. He knocked down a fadeaway over Maxey in the second half from the post. He got downhill to the basket on drives. He drew contact on Kyle Lowry and Embiid when he drove on them both. You know, and I prefer Bojan to do less perimeter ball handling, less pick and roll, where his low IQ, sloppy ball handling just leads to turnovers and just bad possessions sometimes. And so I think playing him with Brunson will help with that. But when he's out there without Brunson, you got to credit Deuce McBride, who a lot of us didn't think. And I still have my questions on, you know, whether Deuce is, you know, a quote-unquote true point guard. But he was doing a nice job. And Deuce was fantastic scoring the ball, you know. And it's just the fact that this guy went out there and just scored 21 points like it was nothing. Like, I saw the greatest tweet. It just put perfectly, like, Emmanuel quickly walked so Deuce McBride could run. Pretty much, like, you know, I was calling this dude the what we thought Grimes should have been. Is he going to be what Quickly was? Like, I mean, he did more in last night's game than Quickley ever did for the Knicks in his playoff career. Let's be honest. I love Quickley, but like, this was a guy, Deuce McBride, who was out of the rotation before the Quickley RJ trade. He wasn't part of the rotation. This was a guy who before last night had 20 total playoff minutes in his career. And then to still go out there and to display the amount of confidence that McBride displayed, taking an immediate three, knocking it down like nothing, at the same time taking on the toughest defensive assignment in the backcourt, and he's doing it no problem. He's recovering off screens. He's closing out at shooters with a full sprint. And, you know, we sit here and we worry about the non-Brunson minutes. Early second quarter, he knocks down a transition three, no problem. Early mid-fourth quarter, Brunson's off the floor still. He runs high pick and roll, pulls up for a three with Embiid in a drop. The guy's just getting buckets. Buckets. He's got the sidestep three working over Maxey. Knocks down that in a one-point game. You know, late second quarter, leak out in transition. Boyan makes the outlet. He's playing his ass off, and he's going to be such a key to this series. Another good X factor, if you will. Leon Rose is a fucking thief, and I love him for it. Josh Hart, big impact. I mean, he was just maddening. Maddening for three quarters. I was on his ass. I get on his ass a lot. The storyline for three quarters, the Nova Knicks have been terrible. Right? We end the night with Dante and Brunson weren't good. But Hart was probably the best on the floor at the end of the day. And to be fair, even in the first three quarters, like, he was still doing Josh Hart things. The hustle plays, he was skying in for rebounds out of nowhere. The guy's a 6'4 guard. You know, the usual stuff, but it was also the usual half-court issues. But the fourth quarter comes and fucking wow. Three-pointer after three-pointer. The Knicks are up 1 point, 5 minutes to play. Oubre gives him space, knocks down the three. The Knicks are up three, 2 minutes to play. Lowry completely ignores him. Hart knocks down the three. And then you got the one with the Knicks up 4 points, a minute left in the game. Lowry goes under the screen. Hart knocks down the three with 1 second on the shot clock. And I think that's the key for Josh Hart. You know, whenever he thinks too much, he hesitates, doesn't shoot it right away. You know, but when he has to take the shot, when it's late in the clock and he's got to heave it up, take an off-balance jumper, those what I call 10 percenters, that's when he makes them because he doesn't have to think. And then he gets the game-sealing rebound at the very end that we said. He was tremendous. Mitchell freaking Robinson. On a night where Isaiah Hartenstein was not great, didn't think we'd still win this game. We did, because Mitch was great. Excuse me. The defense that he displayed on Joel Embiid, on Paul Reed, that loser who thought this was going to be an easy matchup. Well, Mitchell Robinson's out there blocking Joel Embiid on the three-point line with 30 seconds left in the third quarter. Early fourth quarter, he blocks Paul Reed on a corner three. You know, making big-time closeouts to Embiid. Getting massive stops in isolation against Embiid. You know, 4 minutes left, four-point game on two consecutive possessions. Mitch just locks Embiid down, forces a miss twice in a row. And then he has the possession, of course, where he just battling. He's fighting for the rebound. Both of Mitch and Embiid dive on the ground. Mitch snags it from him, and he forces the jump ball. Just hell-bent. You could tell he wanted it more. Busting his ass. The offense, too. Like, he makes the two big free throws. Right? They were playing hack-a-Mitch with about 40 seconds or so left in the game. Gets fouled. Knocks down two out of two. Make them when it counts. The tip-ins, he had 12 rebounds, 7 of them offensive. You know, second quarter, putback slam off the Josh Hart miss. That tied the game. He gives the Knicks the lead in the fourth quarter with the Brunson miss, tips it in. Deuce McBride misses. Mitch gets the offensive rebound, misses, gets his own offensive rebound, puts it in. The Knicks are up four. Like, he was so critical, so important last night. And again, with Isaiah Hartenstein not great, Mitch got the bulk of the minutes, and he did a great job versus the toughest assignment in the game. I did not expect this. Mitch did not look great in the regular season since coming back. So I'm sitting here thinking, are we going to have to push Ihart past his restriction? You know, are we going to have to play Precious Achiuwa more than we want to? You know, so maybe Mitchell Robinson took the week that he had off to up the conditioning and just get in better physical shape. But he was excellent last night, and I expect nothing more tomorrow night. I just hope that Jalen starts hitting the shots, because they're not winning this series if he's going to continue to shoot 8 for 26. Let's hand out our game balls, and I think that's going to be it. We'll do that when we return here from episode 669. Stay with us. We'll be right back in a few seconds.
If you're interested in our website, just go to www.bd4blog.com. You can subscribe to our blog on there right on the front page. Just like on the podcast, we cover Yankees, Knicks, and MMA. Also on our website are the links to the different platforms for the podcast. Thanks so much.
Studio 69 Productions is a podcast production agency created by Leo Rodriguez to allow content creators to market their podcast. It's an online platform that will market your podcast or any other project that you're working on. Get in touch with Leo Rodriguez from Studio 69 Productions. You can find Studio 69 Productions on Instagram at Studio69NJ. Studio 69 Productions, where dreams are heard and born. So I just got the notification that the, let me see if I can pull it up here. The Coach of the Year candidates are out. And it is, yeah, no, none of them have Tibbs. It's Mosley, Finch, and the, what team is this? I don't know his name. But he's not the coach of the Knicks. And Josh Hart put out a tweet saying, 50 wins, 2 seed with an injured roster for half the year, and not a Coach of the Year candidate. Yep. You know, voter fatigue, Tibbs has 2, I don't know, but that's pretty garbage. Yeah, no, I think he should have definitely been in conversation. The fact that he's not even in candidacy, that's fucked up. The guy has, I mean, you know my thoughts on Tom Thibodeau. Got questions on him for sure, but I love the guy. Wow. All right, speaking of Josh Hart, he's getting the game ball tonight, folks.
Bing bang.
For the playoffs, by the way, we only hand out game balls in wins. So unlike the regular season, we give out game balls for each win or loss. In the playoffs, we are only handing out game balls in wins. One to the starter, one to the bench. Josh Hart's getting the game ball amongst the starters. In this game, 22 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, no blocks, 2 turnovers, shot 42% from the floor, 50% from 3, 4 of 8, 80% at the free throw line, was a minus 5, 4 fouls, 42 minutes played. He was wonderful. And Josh Hart on the year in the regular season finished with 12 game balls. 12 game balls in the regular season. But this is the postseason, folks. So this is his first game ball of the postseason, which means 13 overall. But Josh Hart was excellent. Let's go to the bench. Of course, we got to go to Miles, man. To Deuce McBride, 21 points, 3 boards, 4 assists, a steal, no blocks, no turnovers. Shot 58% from the floor, 5 for 7, 71% from 3, 100% at the line. He was a plus 37. Again, we worry about the non-Brunson minutes. There you go. 3 fouls, 28 minutes played against the Sixers last night. He was great. And on the in the regular season, Miles McBride was second on the team with 18 game balls. So he gets his first postseason game ball to give him 19 total. But we don't combine here. Playoffs is a different animal. So Deuce gets his first game ball of the postseason in the Knicks' first game of the postseason. Hart and Deuce. And think that's it, people. I appreciate you all tuning in. Let's wrap this up with our trivia question. And that'll be that. Okay. In this episode, episode 669 of BD4, our trivia question of the day. Name the last Knicks point guard before Brunson to start game one of the playoffs for 2 straight seasons. Now, this was a question that was the MSG trivia for last night's game. So if you paid attention to the MSG trivia, you know the answer to this question. I stole it from MSG Networks. So name the last Knicks point guard before Brunson to start game one of the playoffs for 2 straight years. That's it. Thank you all for tuning in. We are about 50 minutes in, a little less. I think we'll wrap it up here, just like we said we would. I'm excited, man. I really think this Knicks team has a shot to at least... I don't want to jump ahead. Let's just take it game by game. Win today, win tomorrow. Thank you. Appreciate you all, and I'll see you after the next game. I'm going to try to get a Yankees episode out. I was busy today. I was at the Yankees game. I had a lot of people that we have family over, so I might miss the recap to the Yankees Rays series that just finished up. If anything, I'll have it out tomorrow night, and we'll add in the first game of the Oakland series. But we'll see. This might be my first series miss of the season regarding the Yankees, so we'll see. But thank you for tuning into this. I was not going to miss game one of the postseason for the Knicks, so hope you enjoyed this episode. I appreciate you all for listening, watching, wherever you are, whatever platform. Keep doing it. Thank you. I'll see you later.
This episode was brought to you by Anchor.
Hey there! If you stayed the entire way through, we thank you immensely for it. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and that you come back for the next episode real soon. Don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, download these episodes, and share them with your friends as well. BD4 is a 5-star podcast simply because of you. And we'd like to keep it that way. Have a wonderful day. Go Yankees and go Knicks!